Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Eric Spanberg, in for Mike Collins. My guest today is Brent Cagle, the aviation director at Charlotte Douglas International Airport. He's here to discuss a number of topics, including economic development, jet noise, and a recent computer glitch that stranded thousands of passengers and canceled 2,000 flights. But the most visible and perhaps most important responsibility for Cagle and his team is a $2.5 billion expansion known as Destination CLT. It started 3 years ago and is scheduled to be finished in 2025. Charlotte Douglas is the 10th busiest U.S. airport, and in 2017, it served a record 46 million passengers. With that, Brent Cagle, welcome to Charlotte Talks.
Well, welcome. Thank you for having me, Eric.
So before we get into the expansion and the renovation, which a lot of people are aware of, anyone who's going to the airport, obviously, let's talk a little bit about your readiness for this holiday week. You know, this is a busy travel time. How are things looking in terms of preparation and TSA and all those things that go with a busy week?
Well, we know it's always, anytime there's a holiday, it's going to be busy, especially during the summer. As far as preparations go, we're ready. We are in close coordination with the TSA, with our concessionaires and American Airlines, looking at the travel projections for local passengers and making sure that we're adequately staffed. And I'm confident that we will be able to keep everyone moving on to their final destination. One question is always, will there be parking available? We're confident that there will be parking available. When you come to the airport, you'll be able to park. Clearly, long-term, the economy lots fill up first. We recommend that all passengers take a look at our website, at the parking area on our website, and before they come out and determine which lots are open and where they want to park. Have a plan.
So you're obviously coming off a very high-profile situation with PSA Airlines, which is an American Airlines subsidiary. They went through a week-long stretch with computer problems, not from the airport, but with the airline, that caused about 2,000 flights to be canceled. But obviously that creates all kinds of disruption and havoc for everyone at the airport. So what have you learned about response, and how confident are you that, you know, that's not going to happen again soon?
Well, I think it was a very unique situation. We have some lessons learned, and I think it's safe to say that American Airlines and PSA have some lessons learned. What was unique about this is the airport has an irregular operations plan that we routinely use whenever there are stranded passengers due to weather events or mechanical or whatever it may be. And so we were prepared, and we implemented our regular operations plan. What became unique about this event was that it carried on for 4 or 5 days. And so what we were seeing is the first night we had about 1,000, just under 1,000 stranded passengers. And then the subsequent 4 or 5 nights after that, it wasn't quite up to that 1,000, but it was somewhere between 200 and 500 stranded passengers an evening. And so what it really became was sort of a long-running implementation of our regular operations plan. And that doesn't happen very often. A major snowstorm, maybe something like that would do it, but it's just very uncommon. And so one of the things that we think that we handled this situation well on our end, but we certainly after now, part of our after action, will be looking at our irregular operations plan and determining what we can do to better address events that are longer running.
And is the big, I mean, I know there are a number of problems that come with a situation like that, but are the biggest problems figuring out where people are going to sleep and how to get them fed?
Well, so for the airport, when we have an irregular operations plan, we work closely. And during this event, we were in constant communications with American Airlines and PSA, trying to understand how many passengers that they would be able to accommodate on other flights, trying to figure out how many passengers that they would be able to move to local hotels, really trying to understand how many passengers we thought that the airport would have overnighting in the terminal. And what we'll do on those kinds of events is we'll work with the TSA to hold checkpoints open so that people can come in and out of the terminal. We'll work with concessionaires to ensure that they stay open for extended hours. We distribute blankets and pillows. We also we have kind of emergency supplies available, diapers, formula, those kinds of things. So those are all the things that we're doing that are really visible to the passenger. Behind the scenes, you also have the need, for example, the first day of the event, there were several passengers who had to be deplaned or taken off of their airplane at what we call a remote hard stand, i.e. there was no gate available for those aircraft to park at and let the passengers deplane. So what we do is we work with the airline to put the aircraft on a remote hard stand, and then we have airport buses available to bring those passengers back to the terminal. All of those things are routine for us. The other side to that is what American Airlines or PSA do to accommodate and move the passengers the best they can. And so that becomes part of the joint communications plan that we have. And that's why we stay in constant communications with American and PSA, our partners.
So let's talk a little bit about this expansion. You're about a third of the way into this 10-year, $2.5 billion series of projects, the most immediate of which is coming up here in the next couple of weeks with Concourse A, or an expansion of Concourse A, which will add 9 gates. So before we go into all the pieces, let's start with that particular one, since it's about to come online. What will that do for the airport?
Well, by the numbers, it will add 9 gates, which is about a 10%, 9 to 10% increase in total number of gates at CLT. So it will give us increased capacity to allow American Airlines and all the airlines serving CLT to grow and add destinations as they see fit. The other thing it will do is help us with congestion. Charlotte is a very heavily utilized airport. We look at utilization when it comes to gates is how many times will an airline turn the gate, i.e. how many aircraft, how many times will they use that gate daily? And a normal, you know, a pretty good average at most airports is in the 5 to 6 range. Charlotte is averaging 8 to 9 turns, and that's across all approximately 100 gates. Very high utilization. And what that means, and we see this in customer complaints almost daily, you may land, you may get on the ground at Charlotte 20 minutes early, and then you have to wait on the ramp, either for the gate to open up or because of congestion on the ramp. So you're kind of caught in effect, a plane traffic jam on the ground. That's very frustrating to passengers. I've been caught in that myself flying, and you think, great, I'm on the ground 20 minutes early. This is awesome. And you end up not early at all. What the new gates will do is help us provide extra capacity to hopefully start to bring down those ramp hold times. So we're really excited about that. The other thing it'll do is allow us to offer really a better customer experience. This terminal or concourse is a modern state-of-the-art facility. It's built to modern standard, very open and airy, a lot of natural light. Every seat will have in-seat charging. The concessions will be some new offerings, Noda, Smashburger, Panera. So we're really excited about the opportunity to be able to better serve the passenger.
Again, we're speaking with Brent Cagle. He is the City Aviation Director at Charlotte Douglas International Airport, and that also gives me the opportunity to mention that, of course, Charlotte Douglas is owned and run by the City of Charlotte. And as part of that, I was hoping you could expand a little bit on how the airport pays for its operations and also how it pays for renovations and expansion, because it's not out of general property tax revenue, correct?
That's correct. We do not receive local tax proceeds. All of our operations, whether it's day-to-day operations or our capital program, is funded through fees. Those fees come from all of the users of the airport, the airlines, the passengers. So when you buy a hamburger at Charlotte Douglas, some people say, you know, that's an expensive hamburger. Well, there's two things to that. One, it costs more. There's more overhead associated with those concessionaires operating in that environment. But the other is those profits that come off of those concessions go back to the airport. They cannot be used for general governmental functions, so they don't go back to, you know, the general fund of the city. They're kept on airport, and that's what helps us maintain our excellent credit rating and helps us fund our capital program into the future.
And so when we talk about the Charlotte Airport, for people who are new to the area or don't pay much attention, American Airlines has its second largest hub at Charlotte. The airline accounts for 90% of the flights in and out of Charlotte Douglas. What makes you confident that Charlotte, which has much higher air service than a city this size typically would, what makes you confident that Charlotte won't go the way of Pittsburgh or Memphis, where you lose that hub and you have all these empty gates and concourses?
I think that's an interesting question. And 6 years ago, that question came up almost weekly, right? Because we've seen across the U.S., there are lots of, in the Midwest especially, connecting hubs that are de-hubbed, that were de-hubbed. And overnight, their passenger numbers just plummeted. I think what makes Charlotte different and what makes me confident that we won't go the way of Pittsburgh or Kansas City or St. Louis, those other connecting hubs that ultimately got de-hubbed, is really two things. One, we are a very, very efficient hub. So from an airline standpoint, American Airlines can really process thousands of passengers daily, millions of passengers annually at a very low operating cost in Charlotte. And they've spent the last 20 years building this hub. And that's very good for an airline. That efficiency and that cost, conservative cost that we have, really helps the airline in their operations and for their bottom line. The other thing, and this I think is the most important thing for our future, is what we've seen over the last 5 years is the local traffic growth has been far and away the largest segment of passenger growth that we've seen. Our total passenger growth over the last 4 or 5 years has been somewhere in the 1%, 2% range. Buried in that number, the local passenger growth has been over 5% every one of those years. That's very good. We know that one key to future success and continued success at Charlotte will be growing the local traffic base. And we're seeing that as Charlotte, the region, is vibrant, the economy is good, people are moving here to Charlotte. I think it's, 40 people a week or a day or something.
As 44 all this, a day seems to be the popular number at the government
that's
center.
That's right. Yes. So as those 44 people a day come into the region, into the city, ultimately they're going to fly. Mm-hmm. And that increases our local traffic numbers. And that's very, very good for Charlotte and for Charlotte Douglas International Airport. Really what I think is, rather than think about how we avoid becoming Pittsburgh, you know, it's how do we ensure we continue to grow like Dallas or Atlanta? If you look at both of those airports 20 years ago, they had a much heavier concentration of one carrier. But as the region grow, new carriers come in and start to balance out the market. And I think that's really the trajectory we're on.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Brent Cagle, and we're going to talk about what a difference 5 years makes, not just for Brent, but also for the airport. Stay with us here on Charlotte Talks.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Back on Charlotte Talks, I'm Eric Spanberg in for Mike Collins, and we are speaking today with Brent Cagle, who is the City Aviation Director, and he has been in that role since 2013. I mentioned before we went to the break, 5 years ago, things were a little bit different, not only for you, but for the airport. So let's go a little bit through your trajectory and what's changed at the airport. So you worked at the Phoenix Airport.
I did.
And Jerry Orr, who ran Charlotte Douglas International, is credited by many for really building it into a lot of what we see today. He hired you in 2012. And then around the summer of 2013, things got really a little crazy, particularly politically at the airport. And there was an attempt by state government to break the airport off separately. Jerry Orr seemed to favor that. So you, in a span of weeks or months, became the head of the airport. So take our listeners through a little bit of what transpired and how we got to where we are now.
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy time. I was excited about coming here, really excited at the opportunity that Jerry hired me, and excited at the opportunity to join such a great team and to work with Jerry and learn from Jerry and be a part of CLT. Within 18 months, it was July of 2013, everything changed. What I would say is, as far as the politics go of all of it, really what I tried to focus on and what everyone in the aviation department focused on was ensuring smooth operations, ensuring that we were delivering really a stable operating platform for the airlines, and ensuring that we were doing everything we could to ensure high customer service and passenger experience. So for us, you know, there was a lot of noise going on, a lot of political wrangling going on, but we really tried to stay out of that and really focused on relationships with American and doing what we needed to do to ensure future success and continued success for CLT. Moving here, I would have never guessed that in 18 months all of that would have happened and how it happened. But certainly there was a lot of turmoil and a lot of politics that came into the process. We just tried to stay out of it.
So 2013 is also the year that U.S. Airways was acquired by American Airlines. And so you had the turnover of the hub at Charlotte, which had been a U.S. Airways hub. So you have the concerns of having that happening. You mentioned some of the political battles. The state legislature actually created an authority and later a commission to run the airport, to take it away from city government, and Jerry Orr was the head of that commission. So he, in effect, had left the city or been fired by the city, depending on who you talk to. But I'm just wondering, for you, you're trying to run the airport, you're dealing with all these things, and the guy who hired you is sort of in limbo. How much communication, or how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I think the most unfortunate side of all of it was, I think there was this narrative that went on that Jerry and I, or Jerry and the management team, including myself, were sort of at odds. We weren't. Now, clearly there were disagreements about things. Jerry and I didn't always agree, but certainly I liked working for Jerry and I respect what he did. He did a lot to build Charlotte into the airport it is today. So we weren't at odds. But it was a very odd time in that narrative sort of kind of spun out in the media. And I think it was, and I understand why that happened. I think it was unfortunate. The interesting thing is, Jerry was the first executive director to the Charlotte Douglas International Airport Commission, and he retained that role through about the end of 2013, at which time he actually retired. And so I guess even today, because the commission still does exist, after Jerry retired, I became both the City of Charlotte Aviation Director and the second Executive Director to the Charlotte Douglas International Airport Commission. And I suppose I retained that role to
this
day.
We should have introduced you that way as the Executive
right.
Director.
I have a dual role. One job pays and one job doesn't. But so it's interesting. But, you know, I think it was just a very interesting time. There was no precedent for it, right? We were sort of writing the book on it, so every day was something new. And we did our best to deal with it, but I think that the unfortunate part was that narrative that somehow there was this conflict between Jerry's goals and my goals, I think at the end of the day, our goals were the same, which is making sure that we protected the important asset that the community has in the airport.
Given everything that's happened in Charlotte, now we have a situation over in Georgia where the state government is studying what may happen with city control of the Atlanta airport, which is the world's busiest. So when you see that, what do you think other than thank God it's not me?
Well, you nailed it. That is the first thing I think. I'm glad it's not Charlotte. I think that this is one of those things that it's one of those questions in the airport world that always comes up. What is the best form of governance for airports? And I think the textbooks will say, you know, authorities can be a great way to govern an airport. But I think the reality is there are great airports that are city-owned, that are state-owned, and that are authority-run. It's really the quality of the management team and the environment at each airport. If you've seen one airport, you've really seen one airport, so to speak. And so I don't think there is an easy answer. It may be something that's right for Georgia. I just don't know. But I think what you have to do is evaluate them each independently, because there is no right answer for all airports, I don't think.
Your confidence level that this issue is dead in Charlotte in terms of the city runs the airport?
Well, what I would say is for now, it does seem that it's not an issue that we keep talking about, right? It's certainly not something that I'm thinking about day to day. I think that it's a valid question that could come up again or may come up again. But I think if it does, again, you have to really look at the circumstances at the time and around each airport. I'll also say, if this comes up again, like the first time, the airport's focus will remain on ensuring smooth operations. We're not into the politics. That's for the politicians to do. Our job is to make sure that we keep the airport running smoothly, and that's what we focus on.
Did you ever get a chance to sit down with Jerry and talk about how it ended?
I haven't. I've talked to Jerry over the course after this has happened. I've talked to Jerry on many occasions, but we've never really sat down, over a drink or anything and reminisced about it. It would be an interesting conversation, I'm sure. I think Jerry, I think he spends a lot of time at the beach now, and I think he likes it that way.
Again, we're speaking with Brent Cagle, who is the city aviation director. So you come in, it's eventually resolved that the city owns the airport. That's where we are now. The legal cases have subsided, and you are in the midst of this huge expansion and renovation. The main terminal opened in 1982, and all of a sudden, as you do these renovations in particular, you can really see the age of the airport and what's needed. So let's go through a little bit of what you're doing, if you can, kind of a thumbnail sketch. The roads, obviously, we have a lot of construction out there, the main terminal. So how does it shake out, and how likely is it that you'll be finished in 2025?
In 2025, well, what I would say is we will be done with this phase of Destination CLT, our capital program, in 2025. As long as the airport's growing, we'll never be done expanding, though. And that's a good thing. Airports, as long as they're growing, seem to be construction zones where airplanes come and go. And that's a good thing. That growth is very good. But all of the projects we have going on now, the first phase of Destination CLT should be complete by 2025. We're wrapping up the terminal curb front, the roadway expansion. That'll be done this year, this calendar year. We're nearing the opening of the new A concourse, the 9 gates. That's in July. So actually just right around the corner, a couple weeks. We are already started in the renovations of all of the existing concourses. And as soon as the terminal curb front project completes, we will immediately be moving into the terminal lobby expansion. That project will be the most logistically or technically difficult project because we have to basically rebuild the terminal lobby while running 12 million people annually through the terminal lobby.
This is the main entrance where you come in.
The main entrance. Ticketing and baggage both will be completely, I can't even say renovated. It will be torn down, expanded by 90 feet on the front of the terminal, and completely renovated. All security checkpoints will be redone. They'll be brought up to modern standards. All of the ticketing counters will be redone, and all of the bag claim area will be redone. That project will take, that one is probably the longest running project as far as construction schedule, and will take somewhere between, we're still working with the construction contractor, but between 3.5 to 5 years to complete. So assuming it gets started on time in 2019, calendar 2019, it should be wrapping up around 2024. Now, on top of that, we have the FAA they're working on their new tower. The physical structure is almost complete, should be completed this year. And then they'll need to do outfitting on the inside of the tower and some testing to before they convert over from the old tower.
That's all the technology and computers,
right? That's
right. Track the planes.
That's exactly right. That project should be done around 2021. We're also in the process of doing the environmental work needed for a new fourth parallel runway. We expect to get the environmental approval in 2020, and then construction on that runway, it's a 12,000-foot runway, should take about 2 to 3 years. So again, that puts everything running out through about 2025. I failed to mention the concourse renovations, the existing concourse renovations. We're underway on the B concourse right now. It should be done at the end of this calendar year. We'll immediately move into the A concourse, the existing A concourse, and then into C, D, and E. And each of those take about a year. Mm-hmm. So again, about a 5-year window on full renovation for everything, putting us at around 2024 to 2025.
Needless to say, you've got a lot going on out there. You know, I wanted to ask you, we mentioned earlier the idea of Charlotte having so much more air service than it would command otherwise, were it not a hub. One of the things that has always come with that and remains a concern for flyers, and I suspect the airport, is that fares are about 20% higher than the U.S. average. We have a question actually from Adam on Twitter. Are there any plans to eventually expand choices of carriers out of Charlotte? American Airlines has such dominance that the competition hurts fares. What do you say? I'm sure you hear that question a lot.
I do. That answer is sort of twofold. Number one, by federal law, an airport cannot influence airline ticket prices, right? So the basic reason when people say why, if Charlotte is so low cost, Charlotte Airport is so low cost for the airlines, why do the airlines charge so much for tickets? And I think the fundamental answer is because as passengers, we'll buy those tickets. And it is basic supply and demand. They'll sell them to us. If we're willing to buy them, they're willing to sell them at that price. And I can't influence that. And that's by federal law. It's the Deregulation Act back in the 70s. The other side of that, so then the question is, what can the airport do? And the answer is, it's not so much what the airport can do, it's what the community can do. And we talked about this already, in fact. As Charlotte, the region, grows, and as our local traffic base increases, that will encourage other airlines, not American, to enter the market. And they're doing that already. I think in all of the 6 years I've been here, new carriers have entered the market or added service in the market every single year. As new carriers come into the market, as they establish themselves and add destinations, that competition helps to bring down prices. But also by federal guidelines, there is nothing I can do. I must provide the facility on an equal basis to all airlines. And so what that really means is there will never be a day that an airline that is either in Charlotte or that wants to be in Charlotte will ever hear from the airport, you can't come, you can't add service. Our answer is always yes. And that's because it has to be yes under federal guidelines. And so what's really exciting about this is it's not something that the airport can directly influence, but it is something that as Charlotte grows, we'll see new entrants come into the market, and that competition will inevitably bring down pricing.
Let me go back to something that when we're talking about the airlines, something that brings back a little bit of the political angle, which is there is a tax exemption on jet fuel for airlines in North Carolina and in some other states. It's determined by legislatures. The North Carolina exemption is coming to an end. Obviously, the airlines want to see that extended. What is your sense of the relationship between the state legislature and airlines and airports since you've been through a little bit of this back in 2013?
Well, I guess what I would say is it is a predominantly airline issue, but clearly any additional cost that airlines have to bear goes towards their bottom line and ultimately gets borne out in the ticket prices. I think the interesting thing, because of how Charlotte works in North Carolina, Charlotte is really, it's a connecting hub. And so a lot of our flights are coming in from other smaller markets in North Carolina. And then they're distributing those passengers out to larger cities along the East Coast, out West, all over the country or world. As those prices go up, do I think that that would be the sole thing that would make American Airlines de-hub Charlotte if they were paying fuel taxes? No. But I think it would be something that would make them evaluate the efficiency of all of their routes throughout the region, and it could be detrimental to other airports. We've heard about upgauging, and what upgauging is, it's an industry phenomenon with the airlines, is they're moving from the smaller aircraft, the 70-seaters, up into regional jets, 100, 120 seats. In fact, July 4th will be the last scheduled service day for any Dash 8 aircraft in Charlotte. And a Dash 8 is a turboprop aircraft, a small aircraft. So they're upgauging. And what that means is if you're a small market, instead of having multiple small flights, you know, multiple flights a day on smaller aircraft, you get less flights, same number of seats in the market, but you have less frequencies. And that can hurt smaller markets. I think that those kinds of things, the economics of the fuel tax, those are the kinds of things that start to play in on how much frequencies there will be in smaller markets.
So that is the voice of Brent Cagle. He is the City Aviation Director. When we come back, we're going to get into Amazon and primetime delivery, if we can get Brent to say the word Amazon. Stay with us here on Charlotte Talks. Back on Charlotte Talks, I'm Eric Spanberg in for Mike Collins, and my guest today is Brent Cagle, who is the Aviation Director at Charlotte Douglas International Airport, spending some time with us during a very busy holiday season. So we were talking a little bit about fares and growth of the airport. Let's talk a little bit about the other things that the airport does. You've put even larger emphasis on economic development. There was a study recently that showed the airport generates an annual impact of somewhere around $16 billion, that's with a B, for the region. And you routinely hear business leaders saying it is the most important asset this region has. So when we talk about Amazon, that or you can
CF Hippolyta.
Yes, thank you. The code name for the project that was recently announced, that is really the first vestige of a strategy that started with the Norfolk Southern Freight Yard that opened 3 or 4 years ago. So I guess thing one is how did the Amazon or
CF Hippolyta.
Yes, deal come together. And then secondly, how optimistic are you that that's going to spur other projects around it?
Well, so the intermodal yard opened about 4 years ago. It's been very successful. I would say Norfolk Southern is very happy with the facility and the operations that they have. That really, we knew we needed to look at how we continue that non-aeronautical commercial development. The airport has about 2,000 acres right around the airport that we own, that primarily we've purchased because the properties were noise impacted. So they can't be residential anymore. We've purchased them to remove those residences, in fact, and now we need to put those back into what the FAA refers to as a compatible use. And compatible use is sort of FAA speak for not houses. So commercial development. So we took a couple years. We worked with an outside consulting firm who specializes in these commercial development plans for airports. We worked with MXD and put together what we call the Airport Area Strategic Development Plan. Now, because that doesn't really roll right off the tongue, we call that Project AMP. So that's the Airport Master Plan, and that's our commercial development plan. And it really was looking at what can we do with those 2,000 acres to increase airport revenues via non-aeronautical sources. This is, so Project Quattro,
yes,
or our deal with CF Hippolyta,
yes,
is really the first project, major project, to come out of that Project AMP, to come out of the strategic development plan. And certainly it's the largest project that we've seen, commercially speaking, since the Norfolk Southern intermodal yard was completed. We're excited about it. That deal was many months in the making. Mm-hmm. It's still not completed. We're still working through the final details, but we're close. And as you've pointed out, City Council last week, they approved some tax increment financing or tax increment grants through the city and the county. And then the airport has some airport reimbursement that we're providing. All of that reimbursement totals to about $15 million, and what it's really designed to do is reimburse CF Hippolyta for completing some infrastructure improvements along the roadways, Tuckasegee Road, Wilkinson, the interchange at Wilkinson and 485, to prepare that site to handle the increased traffic load. And so these are infrastructure improvements that the city needs. And honestly, otherwise would have needed to pay for anyway. And because of the timeline that CF Hippolyta has, it was better to contract with them, in effect, to complete those and then reimburse them for those public infrastructure improvements. And that's what we've done. We're excited about it because it does satisfy that mandate that the FAA has for us, is putting that property back into compatible use, into productive use. It's also interesting to see, this is about a 100-acre site, and before all of this project came together, most of the property was not in the city of Charlotte. It was an unincorporated area. And so what it will do for the city is it brings all of that acreage into the city, and it puts it back onto the tax rolls.
And we're talking about, about a $200 million investment, about 1,500 jobs, and this is a new form of distribution center that ultimately Amazon will run, and you'll be able to say Amazon at some point, Brent. And I want to go back to the Norfolk Southern project. For people who don't follow this closely, it's essentially a rail freight yard that has been built into the property around the airfield, right?
Yes. It is. So it's their main intermodal, the Norfolk Southern main intermodal yard. They moved that from the uptown area and were able to double the size of the intermodal yard. But the interesting thing is it's built literally between two active runways. And so, you know, there's not a lot of uses that you could put in between two active runways. This is the one use that met Norfolk Southern's needs and also was compatible with being between the runways. So it's a great project. It generates about $1 million a year that comes back to the airport in the form of lease or rent for the land. And that money goes back towards lowering our costs or helping us pay for the cost of operations and maintenance in our capital programs.
And it also took a lot of heavy-duty trucks off the roads in and around Uptown, which is where Norfolk Southern formerly was, and now they're out near the airport, which is a much more industrial area.
It did. And it's also important to say that the new project, Project Quattro, CF Hippolyta will be purchasing the property from the airport. The The total sales is for $7.5 million for the, and that's fair market value for the land. Now, once we net that out with the airport reimbursement, it ends up being just over $3 million that will go back towards airport projects for capital and other things.
So you have 2,000 acres. I mean, have you thought about building a new NFL stadium out there yet?
Well, we'll see what Mr. Tepper, what his desire is.
A couple of other listener questions coming in from Twitter. One of them is, any updates as to better transportation to and from the airport regarding light rail in the future? This has been a long-running subject as well. Where does it stand at the moment?
So where it stands right now is the John Lewis, the CEO of CATS, they are completing a study to look at the additional three lines that they've always planned to make, the north line up north, I think they call that the red line, a west line that comes out either to the airport or to the west side, and then a southern line. Really, what we're doing is we've been involved with that study, and we're trying to understand where CATS's priorities are. And what their, I think it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I think that this study will help answer those questions. We really view light rail coming out to the airport or to the west side as a great thing. What I think is light rail needs to come out to the west side, not solely for the airport. Probably the ridership numbers, if it were just for the airport, wouldn't justify building it. What it needs to do is come out to the west side and beyond the airport and provide a stop at the airport to provide better access both for our employees and the passengers. So we're excited about that. We also think that if that line were to come out Wilkinson Boulevard, would really represent a catalyst project in the redevelopment of Wilkinson Boulevard along the entire line.
And how strong of an opinion do you have on whether it would go right to the door of the airport, or you'd need some way to get people from a stop kind of by the airport to get them to the terminal? How important is that aspect?
So I do have a pretty strong opinion on that. It's my opinion that it would be difficult, if not economically infeasible, possibly completely just infeasible to actually bring light rail directly to the terminal. It's a very small construction envelope, if you will, and there's already a lot of heavy infrastructure in the way. It would be difficult, if not impossible. What I think is we've seen airports that have the same issue bridge that gap by bringing a city light rail system to near the airport, the front door, if you will, along Wilkinson Boulevard, and then bridging that gap usually in the beginning with bus service, just a quick connector, or what you call an automated people mover, which is a driverless tram.
So we were talking about the industrial aspect out there, but there's also something else interesting going on, which you mentioned, the west side and being transportation service for more than just airline passengers, I should say. So when we talk about the west side, there is this enormous river district that is in the planning stages with Lincoln Harris, one of the lead developers out there, and that is essentially between the airport and the Catawba River.
It is.
Offices, homes, all these kinds of things. I think it's about 2,400 acres. I hope I have the acreage right. It's a big piece of property. So tell me how that's going to change your world, if you think it's going to change your world.
Well, I think that it will change the west side. We really view ourselves as one primary stakeholder on the west side, but certainly not the only stakeholder. The citizens, the communities, the businesses, and we think that will help just keep development going on the west side. Now, I think it will be very interesting to see that development because it really starts to create what some in the academic world call aerotropolis. You may have heard that term, or kind of smart growth around airports. And I think this is a great example of that. And I'm frankly excited about it. I think it'll be a great thing.
So let's talk a little bit about, we mentioned earlier, this is the busy travel season. couple years ago, TSA had a lot of problems, not only in Charlotte, but all over. What's your confidence level as we're into summer, we're into the busy season now? How are things looking, and what are the tips that you provide for people who are heading out to the airport this summer?
So, you know, I think it's interesting. Certainly a couple years ago was not TSA's greatest moment. They have done, the local TSA folks, the folks who are working every day at CLT, and our federal security director, Kevin Frederick, they work closely with us. And I think that they've done a great job. You know, security lines can get long, but the average wait times at Charlotte are incredible. 20 minutes or less, even in those busy times. And so we know every Thanksgiving, you have to pack your patience and you have to be ready for the crowds. That's going to happen. But I think the TSA, especially, I give all the credit to the local TSA folks, the men and women who work at CLT daily. They do a great job, and they work hard, and they work with us to really meet the expectations that I think all our passengers have. Now, my advice on any busy travel time, whether it's Thanksgiving, July 4th, any holidays, is be patient, understand that there are a lot of folks traveling, and be prepared. Really plan in advance, have a plan before you come to the airport. Where do you want to park? If that parking facility that you want to park at isn't open, where are you going to go then? Really just sort of understand. One thing we'll see is, especially in the holidays and summers, you get the leisure travelers, right? The amateur, the folks who aren't the business road warriors. And it can be daunting. Airports are crazy. Lots of people, a lot of noise. Everybody's moving at 1,000 miles an hour. And so just be prepared for that. Have a plan going in and come early. July 4th is not, and Thanksgiving are not the time to cut it short and say, you know, if we get there an hour in advance, we'll be okay. 2 hours in advance, come early. And even if you get through security really quickly and you have time to kill, you know, grab a rocking chair, listen to the piano player, maybe look at our Twitter account. It's award-winning, apparently.
Right.
It's so, you know, there's lots of great things to do at the airport to pass that time.
By the way, I wanted to correct myself. I said 2,400 acres. It's actually 1,400 acres is the River District. That, again, is a mixed-use project with Lincoln Harris and Crescent Community. So I just want to make sure I have that cleared up. Another Twitter question from a listener. Kristen asks, any thoughts about the petition circulating to stop all the jet noise over South Park? That's been a big issue, particularly this past year. What's happening there?
Well, I think it's one of those issues that is tough. No one wants to live under a flight path. It's especially at, you know, the nation's, live under a flight path of the nation's, we're the sixth busiest airfield in the nation. There are a lot of jets coming and going every single day. So it's a tough issue. Also combine that with the city keeps growing, right? Every time I look up, you know, wherever it is, there are new houses, townhomes, condos going up, and they're going up right under the flight path. It's tough. I think that we are, you know, what the airport and the FAA are doing right now with our airport community roundtable, I think is a good thing. It keeps those discussions going. We're looking for what are the alternatives out there that might help mitigate some of that noise. But it is going to be a tough issue now and into the future. We are a very urban airport, and the city keeps growing right around us.
Well, I'm sure we'll be able to talk more about these and other issues. Brent Cagle, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Brent Cagle, the aviation director at Charlotte Douglas International Airport. I'm Eric Spanberg in for Mike Collins, and thanks for listening to Charlotte Talks.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.